So I love worshiping together with you guys on Sunday mornings. And for the longest time growing up, I felt like, or I thought that all churches were like this, that all churches were the same. But the older I got and the more I experienced different churches and went on mission trips to different churches around the U.S. and around the world, I realized that a lot of churches are different and that they might look different and they might worship just a little bit different. But it's really cool to know and to understand that no matter where you go in the world, you can find people that are worshiping and bringing glory to God as they meet regularly, just like we do here at Champion Forest. So I love worshiping in this building. I love that the room is so big. I love that so many people can fit in it. I love it has a microphone. I love that it has chairs. I love that it has screens. I mean, I love all that stuff, but not every church is like that, right? There's a lot of churches that are like this, and then there's a lot of churches that are like the picture of the church that's on the screens behind me, right? No walls, no doors, no floors, no ceilings. They've barely got seats. There's definitely not a microphone. Whoever's speaking has a very sore throat every Sunday afternoon when they're done speaking in churches like this. And the more that you sort of explore the world and the more that you see different things, you realize that every church might look just a little bit different, okay? And that's okay. And that's a good thing as long as Christ is the center of it. This morning, as we continue our series called Foundations and looking at some foundational truths to our beliefs, we're going to look at the church. And I think they've got some listening guides, some of the doulos, they're going to pass them out for you guys. But we're going to look at the church this morning. And in order for us to understand the church as we dig into God's word to see what God's word has to say about it, there's something that you guys have just got to get, okay? So we talk about the church, you guys need to know that you are the church. You're the church. So turn to someone sitting next to you and look at them and say, you are the church. Now look at somebody else and say, I am the church. Listen, guys, the church is people, right? The church is God's people. The church is a community of Christians that is gathered together. Guys, the church is people. There's a really smart guy that wrote a book that helps us understand a lot of different theological things, and he came up with a very good quote, I believe, that helps us to understand what exactly the church is. So I'm going to start off with his quote this morning. It's this: the church is all the people of God for all time. Okay, the church is all the people of God for all time. All right, it's every Christian that there ever was and every Christian that ever will be makes up this body of believers, this family of believers that is called the church. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, the second half of this verse, it's cool and it gives us a picture of the church and the importance of the church. It says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now listen, Christ didn't give himself up for the building that we're in. Okay, he didn't give himself up for these screens and these cameras and that kind of thing. Guys, Christ gave himself up for these people. He gave himself up for the people that make up the church, right? The people that make up this church and every other church. So the church is the people of God, the people that have placed their faith and trust in God. And here's the cool thing, guys. It's local right here, me and you, and it's global around the world. And let me explain. When we see the word church used in the Bible, like I said, it's never used to describe a building, right? There were buildings where churches met. There were buildings where people went to worship, but the church is people. And so sometimes it would say the church in Jerusalem, or sometimes the Bible might say the church that met in Lydia's house. And so the church would talk about a specific small gathering of Christians and of believers, a local church. That's Champion Forest is a local church. We're a local community of Christians that gather together for the purpose of the church. And we'll get into those purposes here in a minute. But sometimes the Bible talks about the global church. We just saw Ephesians chapter 5. It talks about how Christ gave himself up for the church, not just Champion Forest, but for everyone that would place their faith and trust in Christ. We read about Christ coming back for his church, and that's not just one specific church, right? But that's everyone that makes up the body of Christ. So you've got global churches, and you've got local churches. And as I said, CFBC is a local church, but we're like a grain of sand on a beach that's full of churches around the world. There's churches that meet in every continent, and tons of languages around the world. There's churches that meet with floors. There's churches that meet without floors. There's churches that meet in countries where their governments won't allow them to meet publicly, so they have to meet in secret. Guys, today already in Afghanistan and countries like Iran and those places, guys, the local churches have met all over the world today to come together to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And Champion Forest, along with those other churches around the world, make up the global church. And no matter where we're at, or what language we speak, or what we look like, or what our church looks like, it doesn't matter. We make up the global church, and we're unified. We're brought together, as Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, that we're no longer strangers and aliens, but we're citizens together, unified by our common bond in Jesus Christ. So guys, whether we realize it or not, you're a part of something so much bigger than yourself. As a member of the church, guys, you're a part of something so much bigger than just Champion Forest. Guys, you're a part of something that literally spans the world and spans time as a member of the church. And sometimes, at least for me anyway, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around where I might fit in to something like that. Sometimes when I think about how big that is and how big our God is and how big his church is, it's hard for me to understand exactly how I fit in and exactly what needs to happen in my life as a result of that. And the Bible gives us some incredible analogies and illustrations and examples for us to understand a little bit more about the church. And there's a ton of them, and you guys probably know a lot of them, but this morning we're just going to look at two of them, okay? And the first thing that I want you to realize and understand is this, guys, the church is a family. All right, the church is a family. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul's writing to Timothy. He's given him some instructions. Verses 1 and 2 say this: "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him, encourage him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity." Guys, Paul's writing to Timothy and he's saying, listen, you need to interact with other Christians like they're your family. You need to treat them like family members. You need to relate to them like you would your own family. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, he said this: "I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters, said the Lord God Almighty." So those are just two verses that I picked out, but there's a ton of verses throughout Scripture that relate the church, Christians, as a family, right? As a family, as we're a family, we're brothers and sisters together in Christ. You might look around the room and think, that doesn't sound very good to me. You know, I don't know that I want them in my family. You might be thinking about your family. You might be thinking that your family's crazy, or that your family's a little messed up, or that it has issues, or it's dysfunctional, and maybe it is. Guys, there's a lot of families that have issues. There's a lot of families that have different things going on. I read a story this week in the news about a husband and wife who had a little bit of an issue. The husband was mad at the wife. The wife had no idea. Right, she didn't have any idea that the husband was mad at her. She thinks everything's great. She goes out to run some errands, and she comes back, and her house was gone. It was just gone. It wasn't like a motorhome or a trailer that the husband drove off. Like, she left, and he got mad, and he went and he got a bulldozer and knocked down their house with everything inside and totally demolished it, right? So that family, I would say, has got some issues, all right, and that sort of need to be worked through. Good thing there was nobody in the house. But that family's got issues, right? And some of our families have issues. But guys, the church shouldn't be a family that looks like that. Guys, the church should be a perfect picture of God's family. Guys, it's a place that you can belong. It's a place that you can be cared for. It's a place where people are going to love you, where people are going to encourage you. It's a place where people are going to build you up. I read through the book of 1 Thessalonians with some students this week, and somebody mentioned chapter 5, verse 11 this morning, talking about encouraging and building each other up as a family. Guys, that's what the church is called to do. We're supposed to love each other and treat each other like a family. And I thought about this week. As the church, or the family loves you, the family welcomes you, the family is a place where you can belong. But guys, the family also helps you grow up. Okay, the family also helps you grow up to be the person that you were designed to be, right? A family helps stop you from doing things that are going to hurt you and encourages you to do things that are going to benefit you or that are going to make you better, right? Every night at dinner, we do our best to get our family to sit down together and do dinner at the end of the day. And it's always exciting. And most of the time, it's really messy because we've got a one-year-old and a three-year-old. But when I sit down at dinner, I feel like a hostage negotiator, right? I'm constantly in negotiations throughout dinner. Not for Chelsea to give me food. She does that on her own. But for Landon to actually eat his food, right? And it's this constant dialogue and this constant conversation where I'm having to talk him into eating his broccoli. Right, and we start off with the whole piece of broccoli. I want him to eat the whole piece of all the broccoli, and then we whittle it down. And if he eats like the top part of the broccoli, I'm fine with that. But it's this constant negotiation. I would love to give him cookies. I would love to give him ice cream. I would love for him to get full on whatever he wants and then leave the table. But I don't, because he's my family. I'm trying to do things that are going to help him grow up strong, and to help him grow up healthy into the person that he needs to be. Guys, in the church, as a family, should be the same thing for each and every one of us, whether we've been a Christian for 1 week or a Christian for 30 years. Guys, the church should be a group of people that loves each other and that encourages each other to do the things that are necessary for us to grow up in our walk with Christ. Here's the cool thing. There's no such thing as a spiritual orphan. There's no such thing as a spiritual orphan. When you give your life to Christ, when you place your faith and your trust in him, immediately you become a part of a family that should welcome you in and love you and grow you up into the person that God's called you to be. Another illustration we see in the Bible that helps us understand the church is this. Guys, the church is a body. Okay, the church is a body. If you've got your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15. As you're flipping there, guys, just know that Paul tells us that different people are going to make up this body. So not the same kind of person, not the people with the same gifts, and that's good. Guys, our differences, the things that make us different in the body, are what makes the body itself stronger, right? We all bring something different to the table. Starting in verse 15, it says this. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not stop being a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You see what's going on here, guys? The body needs different parts to come together. Verse 18, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, and every one of them is just as he wanted it to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, the body is many parts, but just one body. And Paul goes on to say that you can't stop being a part of the body, because every single one of us is needed for the body to continue functioning properly. Listen, you can't say, I don't want to be a part of it anymore, and you can't look at another part of the body and say they don't need to be a part of it anymore, because God has gifted each one of us. God has gifted you. He's equipped you. He's designed you specifically to be a part of the body of Christ and to do something as a part of the body of Christ. I promise you that God didn't equip anybody in this room, whether you're in sixth grade or 12th grade or a teacher, God didn't equip any of us to come in here and take as much as we could get and then leave. All right? We're not just consumers, guys. We're contributors to the overall body of Christ. If you teach a life group here, and you play a vital role in the body of Christ. If you're a student that goes to a life group here, guys, you are a vital role in the body of Christ. I promise you, guys, I promise you that you're playing a vital role. You might be that student in the class that answers a question for the teacher, that encourages the teacher to keep doing what they're doing. You might be the student in class that makes so many other students feel comfortable, and so they keep coming and stay connected just because you're there and because you'll talk to them. You might be the student on a Sunday morning that smiles and says hi to the person that feels invisible, making them feel welcome. Guys, I promise you that no matter who you are, how old you are, or what you do, you are vital to the body of Christ. And when you're disconnected from the body of Christ, guys, you're not getting what you need, but you're not the only one that's affected. Guys, when you're disconnected from the body itself suffers. If a part of my body left me right now this morning, if my lungs were suddenly gone, things would get very interesting very fast up here. And I would hope that somebody knew CPR or had oxygen or something. But listen, when a part of the body is removed, the whole body suffers. Guys, what I'm saying is this: you matter. You matter to the church. You matter to the body of believers. So make this connection to the body of believers a priority in your life. Don't just let it be something you do when you've got time. Guys, please don't just let church coming to church and being a part of this church, of this local body of believers, something to do when you're not too tired. Don't let it be something you do when your friends are doing it. Don't let it be something you do for any other reason but to know, guys, that you matter to the body of Christ. And when you're here, the body is better. Guys, we are better together as a church. Guys, we need each other to fulfill the mission and the purposes that God's word has laid out for his church. So guys, the church isn't a building. We're the church. We're a family that's supposed to love each other and build each other up. And guys, we're a body. We come together as many parts to make one body to fulfill the mission of the church. And guys, briefly, I'm going to give you three things that the church is designed to do. Three things the church is designed to do. And the first is this. Guys, the church should mature believers. The church should mature believers. You know what that means? It means that the church should spiritually help you to grow up. Help you to grow up. We shouldn't be the same person or in the same place spiritually as we were when we gave our life to Christ. We shouldn't be in the same place spiritually as we were last year. Guys, we should constantly be growing and maturing in our walk with Christ. The church should be full of baby Christians who are becoming mature Christians and mature Christians who are continuing to grow and mature in their walk with Christ. I read this verse this week in Colossians, and it really impacted me, and I want you guys to hear it and understand that Paul's writing this, and think about Paul as the greatest missionary ever, the guy that traveled and spread the word and saw so many people come to know Christ and planted churches everywhere. Colossians 1:28, Paul says this, "Jesus is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom," listen to this, "so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ has so powerfully worked in me." Guys, the greatest missionary that I could ever think of didn't just want to see people come to know Christ. He wanted to see people grow in their walk with Christ. The church should mature believers. So just ask yourself the question this morning, am I maturing as a Christian? Am I a baby Christian or am I growing up in my walk with Christ? I mean, it's easy for me to see my kids growing up. I mean, they're crawling and then they're walking and then they're talking and I can see a progression, guys, but as far as spiritual maturity, guys, God's the only one that knows our hearts. So just ask yourself the question, am I growing up spiritually? Am I more focused on God than I used to be? Do I love people more than I used to be? Am I more patient than I used to be? Guys, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity that you have within this family, within this body, to mature in Christ, to grow up spiritually. The Bible says that as we do that, we become equipped to do this second function, this second goal of the church, and that's this. Guys, the church should show the love of Jesus to the world. The church should show the love of Jesus to the world. At the end of Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is going back up into heaven. He looks down at his disciples who are the church, right? He looks down at the church and he says, "Go into all the world and make disciples. Go into all the world and tell people about me so they can place their faith and trust in me as well and become a part of the church." Listen, guys, Jesus' plan for the world to know about him was the church. It is the church. Guys, we are called to share the love that we have in Jesus with those around us. And let me tell you, you guys, as students here at Champion Forest, do an incredible job at that. We know five students, all right, by name, five students in the last 2 weeks or so that have placed their faith and trust in Christ because the church, you guys, have told them about Jesus and they've placed their faith and trust in him. Guys, the church is called to share the love of Jesus with the world. Not just the pastors of the church or the teachers in the church or the adults in the church, but the church, all of the church, is called to share the love of Jesus with the world. Guys, he's given us an incredible gift, an incredible responsibility, but more than that, an incredible joy to share his love with people that need to hear about his love. And guys, the third thing is this. This third function, or third role of the church is this. Is the church should worship and give glory to God. Guys, the church should worship and give glory to God. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says that those of us that have placed our hope in Christ do so, and we become the praise of his glory. So the simple fact that our lives have been transformed and that we enter into a relationship with him, guys, that simple fact brings glory to God. And then you can read, starting at the beginning of the Bible all the way through to the end, you can see in Colossians and Ephesians and Philippians and Corinthians and a few other places, guys, you can see over and over and over again how the local church gathers together to worship God. And guys, that's important. And we do that every week. We do that multiple times a week, and it's good, and it unifies us as a family. It energizes the body. It brings us together to where together as a group, we can give glory and we can give praise and we can worship God. But guys, that's not the only time we get to do that. Guys, our lives, you're the church, right? You are the church, and your life should be lived in a way that worships God and brings glory to him. When you're at home, you can live your life in a way that brings glory to God. When you're at school, you can live your life in a way that worships and honors and brings glory to God. And that's our goal, and that is our purpose, to bring glory and honor and praise to God, because we are his church and he is worthy of our glory. So guys, we're the church. It's not a building. It's not a place that we go, but it's the people of God, right? And we come together as a family to build each other up. We come together as a body on mission for him. Guys, the church is a place that as we gather together, we can build each other up and encourage each other to grow and become mature Christians so that we can share the love of Jesus with the world and honor him and praise him and bring him glory and our worship. And guys, so that's the church. And this morning, as a local church, as a body of believers, we're going to do something that's a great way for the church to bring glory and honor and praise and to worship God. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together this morning. And guys, if you're new with us and you've never done this before, I'm going to give a brief explanation of what the Lord's Supper is as Brad comes out to lead us in worship. And guys, the Lord's Supper is this. Guys, the Lord's Supper is a reminder to us for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. It's a reminder for us of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. When Jesus was still on earth, and he met with his followers who are the church, right? So he met with the church. He instructed the church then and instructed the church now to take the Lord's Supper and to, as we do it, to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, to remember his body that was broken on the cross and his blood that was shed on the cross, not for any other reason, but then for us to enter into a relationship with God and to have our sins forgiven. So the Lord's Supper is a reminder. And guys, it's very symbolic as well. In just a minute, when our deacons pass out the bread and when our deacons pass out the juice, guys, the bread represents the body of Christ and the juice represents the blood of Christ, the body that was broken and the blood that was shed so that we could know God and have our sins forgiven. I'm going to read some scripture to you real quick as our deacons are making their way forward to pass out the Lord's Supper for us. And so Jesus instructed us to do this. And in 1 Corinthians 11:26, he's telling his disciples, he's telling the church, he says, "For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So as we take the Lord's Supper together, guys, as it's passed down the aisle and you take it, guys, it's a statement of faith. You're saying that you believe that Jesus died for your sins and you trust the fact that he is coming back again for his church, that he's coming back for me and for you and everyone that's placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So guys, this is something that you should do as a Christian, as a member of the church. And this morning, we'd like nothing more, like for nothing more than for everybody to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper. But guys, if you haven't come to that place and you haven't given your heart and life to Christ, I want to encourage you just to let it pass and come talk to us after the service. And we can share with you how, with the scripture, you become a member of God's family and a part of this body of believers. As our deacons pass out the Lord's Supper, I want you guys to be in a place of prayer and reflection. Bow your heads, get your hearts right with the Lord. Thank him for his sacrifice and for what he's done for us. Brad?